that you're born an Italian. If you want your life to be great, see that you're born an Italiano and your life will be great.
Hey there, Paisani. Happy Italian-American Heritage Month. And welcome back to your favorite dose of Italian-American heritage, history, and hilarity, the Italian-American Podcast. It is the final episode of Italian-American Heritage Month, and we have made every effort to gather the gang and be in person. We are here in New Jersey. I am surrounded by three of the people I love the most in the world. To my right, I may know her as Kuma Dolorata. You would know her as the OG Italian-American Podcast host, Ms. Dolores Alfieri Taranto, who is moments away from bringing life into this world, by the way. So you may actually get that in the episode. So, you know, hopefully.
You think it might happen now?
Could.
Any very day much now, at this point.
There's that the notorious POB Patrick O'Boyle and
just
the
don't
Bella
make a mess
Benson Hurst Rosella Rocco
across
from
me. If it's going to happen, just not here.
Yeah, try.
I'll do whatever I can, boys.
I hear focaccia induces labor.
I am making love to this Rosella's focaccia. She made this beautiful focaccia.
It is
focaccia.
A beautiful focaccia, Kumar. It really is.
And
thank you.
They decide to cut the focaccia before we tape. Can you explain it? We're here talking for 2 hours, got nothing done.
Can I say,
now, right when we got, now we have to tape. We're going to have your pizza, and now we have to tape.
This is our Italian American Heritage Month celebration, actually. Like,
Pat's mother, Kathy, made cake.
Jersey Dolores, City cake.
Dolores brought us mushrooms.
And I brought the recording equipment.
Yes.
So there you go. I really feel like a Shamu. I didn't bring anything.
You're the reason we're all here.
That's right. Yes.
Bro, could you pass me the bag, please? That brown paper.
I keep us on schedule, if nothing else.
I mean, not really.
No. But I thought about that. Like I said, let's do an episode together. It's the end of Italian Heritage Month. What a great thing. And really, we just have some food popped out of everywhere.
Well, you know, this is what makes us. No one said to bring it. We just did.
No one said a word. No.
Medigan people have a list. Thanksgiving.
Yeah, who's bringing
you
what?
You bring the turkey. Right? No one needs to say to us.
Potatoes.
No, it's so true.
Look at this. Okay, look at him. Okay, here. Look at the mushrooms. I'm sorry, John.
They're gorgeous. These are gorgeous mushrooms.
If that was filled with gold, it would not beat the quality of that her mother went and foraged.
Foraged these mushrooms, right?
So my mother doesn't do the foraging.
Okay.
That's man's work, I think, in our realm. So no, but my father used to, of course. So he would go out at a landscaping business. He would go on his clients' jobs. And just over the years, he learned, like, who would have the mushrooms when the time came. You know, you got to know where to find them. And since his passing, we have a very good friend, Maurizio, who now does the same line of work, and he brings them over. He brings, like, buckets and buckets of them. And every year my mom says, she's not going to do it this year. It's too much work. She's tired. And every year she does tons of them because she just, if you drop mushrooms off at my mother's house, she can't not clean them and cook them.
Can't waste the mushrooms.
She lights up.
She's not going to waste them.
My father-in-law does. He forages with his friends all over the Bronx and Westchester. And like I was saying to Dolores, I was at his house the other day and he was boiling them in vinegar to preserve them and jar them and stuff. It's something that I don't know how to do. But if you look at these mushrooms that they get, I think, and you might know this because you're pretty good with like the food and health food, and these are hen of the wood mushrooms, right? They're really expensive in the stores.
Yeah.
Like these are not, you're not picking, little
they're not like
throwaways.
White button.
Yeah,
mushroom.
No, they're like, they're very
so they're
exotic.
They're called Mayataki.
Mayataki, right, Mayataki.
Which is like a nice, I'm assuming Japanese.
This
isn't
that like a disease? He's suffering from Mayataki.
Those mushrooms, like shiitake,
they're expensive.
Reishi, they're expensive and they're really good for you. Yeah, no, so it's delicious. You should link, though. I just sent out the recipe to my Substack subscribers.
Okay, put it in the description.
Step by step, how to do
that. That means we don't get it.
Well, are you subscribed to my Substack?
I didn't even know what a Substack was. But I read yesterday.
I bet you are.
Pat's never even listened to our show. So
no,
it does
not surprise me that Pat doesn't
know
what
a Substack
is.
I saw you posting this yesterday, and I had recipe and Substack. I'm like, what is this now? You got to make my life more complicated?
It's like a platform for blogs. So I share the recipe with my subscribers. So if you guys are interested, it's Dolores Taranto, .substack.com.
And I'll put it right in the show notes.
Oh, perfect. Yeah,
I think it's a good opportunity for everybody to. I mean, this is a tradition. You know, we talk a lot about tomato jarring and the wine, but this is a great one.
You gotta know what you're doing. For people out there, you can't go out.
Gotta
know because you'll kill yourself.
You know, there's an app now.
You have to know what's a good mushroom and what's not a good mushroom.
Yeah,
for identifying
mushrooms.
I tell them in the post, I'm not teaching you how to forage for mushrooms because I don't have that skill.
They're better
I'm
off
afraid.
If you don't know what you're doing, go to the supermarket.
That's what I
get them in the supermarket
because
Maurizio, I'm sure, was picking mushrooms
right.
6,000 years in Italy before he came to
it's
America.
It's exactly right. in the mountains. He knows. You back don't in know. Italy. Yep, 100%.
So don't, if you don't know what you're doing, I think I told you the province of Salerno loses 2 to 3 people every fall who screw up on picking the wrong
mushroom.
No way. Yeah, it's a real statistic. There's posters. I was in San Mango one October, and there's like big like warning posts. They're like, these are the good mushrooms, these are the bad ones.
Really?
Yeah, I mean Italy, I mean the way they drive, nobody's worried about. But if you pick the wrong one, right, you can pick the wrong one. We're not anti jarring mushrooms, but if you don't know what you're doing, go to your local supermarket.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
My grandfather was like a big forager. I can't remember what he used to do. He used to cook them with the full clove of garlic. I get this from like my dad and my uncle, so they're stories. It's not fact. There's like you cook it with a garlic, or you cook it with a nickel
quarter
or something,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Something
if
changes
turns.
Color. I'm like this. I'm not. First of all, I don't want to cook anything with a quarter that's been around the world for 25 years in people's pockets. That's not happening. Secondly, like I don't think that the garlic change color test is good enough for me.
Yeah,
to,
this no, is like when Molise people would make the calcium olives, the olive alla calcio with Drano.
Oh no! Come on!
You're kidding me,
because
right
they're calcium treated olives. So when they came, when people came here, they started making them with Drano. I don't know how many we lost.
Oh my goodness!
Wait a minute, time out. I've never heard of.
There
calcium.
Are these green olives.
I've heard of that
from Puglia. Yeah. They're kind of like a Cerignola olive, but at the mercato we call them olive alla calcio. But they're treated with calcium that gives them a specific flavor. So what has calcium in it?
I didn't know Drano had
calcium.
And like
calcium a million
in it. Things besides
Drano.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Like what dissolves
calcium?
You know, that's what dissolves the.
So listen, to stop right here, don't go foraging for mushrooms.
Yes.
If you don't know what you're doing,
that's
and
the
you
point
don't, I
of
we
this.
Do not recommend that you cure your olives with Drano.
That
is
not,
an anecdote of
that.
Days gone by. Rosella and none of us on the podcast are counseling you, advising you. Speak to your physician if you want to cure your olives in Drano. Because this
incredible.
Is the time of year the olives come around.
Yeah.
Corrado's used to have the big boxes in Clifton.
Yeah. Is Corrado still there?
They're still there.
Yeah, they're
I don't
still
know.
There.
I don't know.
It's
if
not
they
the
still...
same, but they're still there. My mom still goes sometimes.
That's where my grandfather got the wine grapes, Corrado's.
Yeah, and do you know how much they are this year?
I'm sure.
They're almost exorbitant. Triple.
Yeah.
That's it was triple.
Almost triple.
Yeah, that's
more than double, not as much as triple, because we made wine, and it was a fortune. We cannot go on like this.
No, I mean everything.
This is insane.
Well, I mean it's interesting, right? Like,
how are you supposed to drink wine?
How are you supposed to do any of this stuff?
Yeah, but your bottle of wine, if you think, it may be cheaper the bottle of wine because what's going to happen is it's like barefoot in Australia. It's just going to be mass wine production. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
we're going to become a barefoot wine drinking,
which is gross. It's not good for
society.
Well, at least it's wine.
Ugh, this is positive. You know what I'm going to do? Can I tell you something? I'm going to go back to making love to the focaccia.
You know what is really nice as we leave this topic about the mushrooms is, and why actually to somebody like me, the barefoot wine like kind of phenomena is like a sin, is because it marks the seasons, you know, and it really, it's tradition, but it's also this very ancient way of staying in touch with the rhythm of life, the design that God made for us. And you know, like for me, when I see the mushrooms coming out, I know summer's gone.
Yeah.
And it's mushrooms and wine. And then when it's hot in August, it's tomatoes, you know, like you keep pace with those rhythms. And that's really important for us to do.
It's so funny because I've as the older I get, the more I become aware of like, you know, your body doesn't have the defenses it used to have. So the food you put in is a big part of it. And like, I become so much more aware of when I eat out or not eating seasonally, you know? And when I went to the fruit vendor, we have an Italian fruit vendor by us in Westchester, and they had a bunch of stuff that had come through and like really beautiful cauliflower and things that you could tell were in season, I guess, right?
Yep.
Or at the end of it. And the stuff that was obviously not in season just didn't appeal to me. Like, you know, you just become more conscious of that.
Become
stuff,
aware. It is really how you're supposed to eat. You're not supposed to eat blueberries all year long.
Although they say that's a great thing every morning if you can get them, right?
They're good for you, but not...
Not all year. No, you
not
can't
all
eat
year
anything
round.
All year.
No, I mean, preserve them when they're at peak. If you really, like, want...
No, but I just really
freeze them, jam.
I came
I mean, can you check the eating?
I don't know if I can.
Don't cut this out. This is
I don't have to cut it out, but I don't know if they'll understand what your argument is.
Right now, no, don't cut this out.
I won't cut
them know I was eating.
I'm not cutting anything out. I'm just clipping, like, if we have to go to the bathroom.
Because it was this good. Because I come from fruits and vegetables on both sides of my mother's side. And my grandmother always used to comment how clean everything was. Because she said when we had the store, vegetables came dirty from the farm. My grandma said, "Do you know how?" I remember her telling me, "Do you know how much time it took to clean spinach?"
Yeah,
sure. So
you have to wash it and rinse it, wash it and rinse it, wash it and rinse it. The one thing I disagree with is there's nothing wrong with frozen fruit.
That's what I said.
That's what she said.
And frozen blueberries from Argentina. I mean, like, I'm saying, like, sometimes the millennials, they love all this back to nature and back to basics and the Gen Z crowd. But some modern stuff is nice.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying, like, a lot of people are like, "Oh, you know, like." I don't know, churning butter is a pain.
Yeah.
Not,
I mean,
if
I've
you
done
use
it.
An electric mixer.
You, churn
it is,
your
you
own
think
butter?
It's that much better?
Sometimes, if I have,
but you
if
think
I
it's
get
better?
You're going full Amish. As you homestead.
I know, in 5 years, you're going to go to Dolores' house. It's going to be candlelit.
Yeah, I know. We're going to go to the outhouse. What are you doing? I haven't seen you since my baby's birthday, but what, are you churning butter now? Are you making candles?
Every now and then. Yeah, I do make candles. I do all of those things. But I also use lights and I buy butter at the store. Yeah,
you're getting a little too much with the beeswax.
By the way, she says that to me every time she sees me.
It's
something new.
What else?
Hold on, man. You think and I've made butter. I haven't made butter from fancy stuff.
Yeah.
You think your butter tastes better, honestly?
I will tell you the truth. It depends where I got the milk from.
These two could homestead together.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's great with suppliers.
We keep saying we should start a show.
What kind
and
of
like,
cow?
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah, yeah, but we won't.
What would we call the show?
Eat like the Amish.
How the hell is this about Italian American Heritage Month?
I feel like it's somehow related, right?
It's our gathering.
No, I'm going to put the horns on it. I'll put it in code.
Oh, don't do that. We got enough
problems. I'm working on a food. I grow stuff. I'm on the same page with you with this stuff.
This is one of our major topics of conversation.
My whole thing is do like the from scratch stuff, but use modern equipment to make it. Not onerous.
It's like your bread machine.
That's why and people think, I'll never see a nickel off this bread machine. God, watch this.
Well, actually, you know what? That's a great opportunity for us now to, for those of you out there who haven't heard, here's a little endorsement from Pat on his favorite bread machine.
Hello, everyone. I have the distinct pleasure today to talk to you about a project, a mission that I am very much in love with, and that is the Anchor's Rum Mixer. Now, I have Carly Reed on with me today. Carly, did I say that right?
You did.
I am madly in love with this machine. I throw in sifted flour, and that machine goes for 15 minutes. It can mix any kind of flour I have thrown in there. It comes out like the most perfectly kneaded bread, but Carly has the insight on the mechanics of why it works. She can tell you why you should buy it off of Pleasant Hill Grain. So with that, Carly, I'm turning the microphone over to you.
It is an investment into your family, into your health, into your well-being on a day-to-day basis. Our company has been in business for 25 years, and in that time, we've maintained a reputation for high-quality product offerings and excellence in customer service.
So now you heard from Carly. You're not happy with the mixer. I will eat the mixer publicly. Can I do that?
You can try.
Why am I offering that? Because I know it's not going to happen. And with that, I'm done.
For anyone who wants to learn more about the machine or get in touch with us directly, you can visit pleasanthillgrain.com.
My next thing I want to get into is when I use the heritage flour I have, I want to start to grind my own flour.
Same. Lately, even more, I'm like, it's time. I want to get one.
I'm going to tell you guys why I'm into grinding my own flour. Yeah, but it's worth it.
Because I agree.
Your own flour.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a real, it's
John's
a real
confused.
Italian.
What?
No, that's
Rose's
super.
Rosella's shaking her head.
That is super. No, you got to listen to this.
I always knew Ro and I, you know, red, white, and green suits. We park our cars in the same garage, but it's becoming glaringly
we
obvious.
We buy our flour at the same supermarket.
Exactly.
No, Pat and I overlap. We overlap on this.
How do you even, wait a minute, time out. You're talking about getting wheat berries and
grinding
the
exactly
flour.
Right.
I can't. I'm done. I'm done with it.
Why?
I'm done
wait.
With it.
Show that right you off.
I'm listen. Done with it. That's, you know, that's why it's 2023, so we don't have to do that anymore.
Listen to me.
Why don't you get on a bike and turn your electric, too? Just bike yourself till you get lights.
Yeah.
Listen. What is the point?
You'd be
I have done so
shape.
Much. I have done so much research on this.
Same.
I'm going to give you a lesson.
Oh.
I'm so glad he's in my corner on this stuff. This is great. I'm just going
to But I'm
going
to tell you why. I'm
going to
tell you why. If you go to
away.
Any town in Italy in the country, you're going to see Umolina. Umolina was the flour mill. Now, why do you see Umolina everywhere? When they would harvest the grain, they kept the wheat berries in sacks. And what you would do is, wheat back then used to go bad, used to go rancid about within maybe month, 2 months. So you got like 6 weeks out of wheat. I'm sorry, 6 weeks out of flour, and then the flour would go bad.
Wow.
So in the old days, your mother would give you, okay, here's a whatever the or bone measurements were. Say, here's a kilo, which is the modern thing, but here's a kilo. Here's 2 pounds of wheat berries. You would go down to the mill. Everybody had a mill. They were all over the place. So you'd walk down to your local mill. You would give the miller the wheat berries. He would grind it, and he would take 10% as payment. Mm.
That's the pizzica. We learned that in Sicily, remember?
Yep.
The right. word pizzica for what the mafia gets paid now.
Oh, is that where it's from?
Comes from the idea that in, I guess it's flour or salt or whatever, like you would, right, when they would do for you, the little hill on top of the bucket, they would swipe off. That would be their 10%, and that's the pizzica. So now the mafia takes their little
Oh, that's what pizzica comes
that's
from?
That's what they told us when we were working.
But that's actually, so what happened is your mill would take some flour, and then after a day of milling, that's what they sold to, like, the city. So if you went to the city of Naples, you would sell the 10% you kept collecting off your farmers, and that's how you made money.
Creative.
But now why this is important is that freshly ground wheat is phenomenal for sourdough. Because the sourdough starts like, oh, fresh ground wheat. So it's much more nutritious. The properties are there. So I want to make it for bread making. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. Cookie biscotto making, I don't foresee using it. Maybe I will, because I think the fineness, is that's the right word for that?
I guess so.
The fineness of a pastry flour, I leave up to the experts.
Yeah, it's a different story.
But what overrides it is for the bread. When you use freshly ground flour for bread, your sourdough does a happy dance.
It's much more really nutritious. Could have a show. I'm lost. I mean, I think it's great. I love your bread. You make great bread. I love that you have the ancient sourdough.
Can you imagine if I had bread? I haven't started grinding my own flour yet. I'll be on a whole other level.
So Columbus Day was nice. That's how I feel.
Now, why
That's
are they riding over? You see how they ride right
Wait,
over
I
us?
Do have a question
I'm like,
on this
how
topic,
am I not
though?
Grinding it already? I don't know how that happened.
But this, can I just go back a second?
Where am I?
I got to make my defense of this.
No, you're not wrong.
I'm going to say in this sense. What my argument today is that the reason why this stuff fell out of favor, the freshly ground flour, which is more tasty and more nutritious, is because it was a stone mill is a pain in the neck.
Sure.
Right? But the beauty of modern technology is if I have, it's like the size of a coffee grinder. If I have a small wheat, really good quality stone grinding wheat mill on my kitchen cabinet, or I keep it under my cabinet, and every time I want to make bread, I grind the grain fresh. That's where modern technology marries ancient food ways, and you can get the best of both worlds.
Where do you get wheat berries?
Online.
You could buy them. Yeah, in bulk. You buy them for pastiera.
How do you think we can pastiera?
No, yeah. I use jars.
But there's another machine.
You can buy it. Yeah,
there's another machine that sifts it. So you can get really fine white flour without the bran in it. But my thing is, why not connect both worlds? The fantasticness of freshly milled flour right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's convenient.
No, you're right.
It's like making bread. And I think that's that. But this is how, if we're going to go back about health.
Yeah.
And I'll probably drop that tomorrow after saying this. But if we're going to go back with health, I think that the great thing, listen, we had a 2-hour doom and gloom conversation, which we all here love, right?
Yeah.
With all the chaos going on in the world. And there's a lot of negativity about living in this day and age. There's a lot of positive stuff. The positive stuff is that you can do a lot of stuff easily today that you couldn't do 100 years ago. And so when your great-grandma was like, oh, thank God, one thing in America, I don't have to spend all day making bread. Though most of them kind of missed it. They liked it. They thought their bread was better. With all this equipment today, you can make the same bread that they made in a very easy-to-do manner. That's my take on it.
I think you're right. I mean,
I advocate another thing, too, is like homemade liqueurs, homemade wine. Doors with the homemade wine or even jarring tomatoes. Years ago, my grandmother used to talk about, she remembered when jarred tomatoes came out, like the passata, like canned tomatoes. My grandmother said it was like, oh, my God, if you didn't jar tomatoes this year, you could just go to the store and get a can. My grandmother said that was like such a big thing. And her uncle, who lived with her, refused to eat it. And her uncle said, this is terrible. This is a can of paint, right? But the thing was, the big thing after the war was now you can go buy a can of tomatoes if you didn't jar, right? And jarring was very hard, jarring tomatoes, because you had to do a hand crank.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so people, like, when you see all these people on YouTube having Pumarola parties jarring their tomatoes. It's because they have these beautiful Cadillac machines from Italy.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
That do it in seconds, separate the skin and everything.
Yeah, we have that.
Right? Mm-hmm. And but your great-grandparents, even people up into the 60s, they had to hand, you know what it was, hand doing all that? The same thing with the wine, yeah. Right? Making wine years ago was a lot of headache because you had to do everything by hand.
Yeah.
Another big thing that's coming out is, I've talked to a lot of people, made wine and kept them in these big glass demijohns.
Yeah, we had
right? 52-liter demijohns. Yeah, now, a lot of times people lost wine in those demijohns because they were hard to clean.
Yeah, that was our job as kids, to clean
right.
the demijohns.
And the plastic tube that, for the ones that have the spout, you got to make sure that spouty area is cleaned. And if you got a little bit of bacteria, you got to put all kinds of chemicals in because a little bit of bacteria could ruin the wine. Now, stainless steel, which is the big thing now, the stainless steel Italian, I don't want to call them, I guess you could call them demijohns, right? They're super, and you can drop the top. So you don't need to bottle all your wine now at once. Mm. Justin Domini, I think, has one of these. We should go over to his house for show and tell. Maybe Jack Patron does too, I'm not sure. But if you have the top that's a floating top, you can lower it as you bottle your wine. So the seal kind of keeps down, so there's never oxygen in the tank. Now, that sounds really complicated if you haven't made wine, but what it says is that you don't have to bottle it all at once. So this is the beauty of modern technology meets old Italian folkways. But maybe it's a Neapolitan thing. Maybe his Barese is coming out in this. But maybe it's our, I don't know. I just think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I don't have a, I mean, my family does the old folkway stuff, but with modern technology, everything you said about the wine equipment, the tomato equipment, all stuff that we use. And I feel the same way. I mean,
that's why I encourage people to go out and buy it, because I make bread now a heck of a lot more often, because the other machine I had, who I just got, my kitchen looks like a, what was, remember on the Muppets, the Swedish chef? Who's that scientist and all that stuff?
Yeah.
My kitchen got more equipment. Nothing matches because I got a deal on this one and that's that color and this color. But the reason I got all this equipment.
None of us can confirm this because no one in this room has been inside.
No, I keep it all locked up. But
only Brendan's allowed in.
Yeah, Brendan's been to your house.
Brendan showed up with a cake and he said,
that's what we got to do. Just I ring the bell with the cake.
No, you know why? Because I get more done saying, well, we got to get this fixed. Who knows when John's going to come? I get that's my manipulation tool. We got to get that done. I mean, how's it going
to
look?
Every time he wants me to send something
your
to
the cabinets,
house.
Your cabinets, you got to get the cabinets refinished. I mean, how's that going to look? So there's always a method.
It's always preparing.
It's always John's preparing. Well, John's going to come.
John's the Pope.
Yeah. For the China, no one's ever used.
What did you buy? You bought the cigarette carousels from Naples. You told your mother that I bought them.
Said you can't get rid of these. John gifted me. How's it going to look? How school's the mother can you be?
He's going to come over. There's not, there's
you know,
not
I found
here.
A guy in Bergen County, New Jersey. He's a clock repairman. So those new stock cigarette carousels I got, they're music boxes. So for those of you who don't know, it's like a little artistic barrel that they used to put cigarettes in. So when
Silvana
you
had a few. She sold Silvana the last two.
I love those.
Did she really?
Yeah.
I did bring you some back from Sicily. I found
I have a whole
market.
Collection of them. And they were like this pagoda, and you hit a button, and they would play a music.
Yeah.
Like a music box.
Like a music box.
And it would open up, and there'd be cigarettes.
It would spin open. So the
spin open. Now, I don't smoke, I don't do cigars, but it's part of Italian America. It's like what you got to have on the list.
Yeah.
But I found a guy who repairs them.
Really?
He is a clockmaker. I found him, and he said that like Italian American people would come in with these. I mean, he hasn't done a lot. Maybe in
it's
50 years he's done one or two.
The clock, yeah.
They're very expensive to fix because he goes, you have to totally disassemble this.
Yeah.
What do you put the show note? What do you put that people can see stuff?
The show page.
Can't you put on the show page? Because if they never saw this, it's going to be very hard to imagine.
I could put a link. Yeah, I could try.
Show the carousel.
See if we find a YouTube video maybe.
And it was, I think it was $250 to fix.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Because he's
that's
like.
That's an investment.
And he said, and he said.
For a non-smoker.
For a non-smoker. He said, because this is like a date. He's like, I have to unscrew every piece.
Wow. Yeah, it's like a clock.
Rebuild it.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
How did we get on these
Before
tangents?
Before we get off the tangent and talk about Italian American Heritage Month, I
But
do,
isn't this Italian Heritage
one,
Month?
Yes, it is.
Why are we going to go talk about it?
Right.
We have to sit there.
No, you're
oh,
right.
I,
but wait.
I think that...
I have one question.
I think that Marconi... I mean,
he was a great... Well, man.
This is my chance to vent, too, with this next topic. But I want to ask you a question, though, because I don't know if I'm falsely remembering a story. If I made it up in my head, I cannot confirm it. You, at some point, after the sale of Medaglia d'Oro coffee, when the recipe changed, tried to reverse engineer it and roast your own coffee.
Correct.
Did you or did you not burn almost, down your
no,
garage?
No, I came
you almost burned down your garage.
4 o'clock in the morning, I decided I was going to roast coffee. I went through.
Oh, my goodness.
See, I go through months of study.
Yeah, I know.
So I say, well, I want to figure out how do you roast coffee. So I went through 6 months of intense study on coffee roasting. But I found an actual purveyor of raw coffee beans, and I ordered the combo that I thought that the old Medaglia d'Oro was. And they shipped me an industrial size bag of coffee beans. And then I did it in my house once 4 o'clock in the morning, and the fire alarm, very bad situation, made a lot of smoke. A lot of people thought my house was burning down, God forbid. But then I started doing a barbecue, an outdoor barbecue. Now, but see, this is, I don't think that my freshly roasted coffee, because you got to really be good at it, I don't think it was better than the high-end stuff that I buy.
Right.
Freshly roasted. So that's somewhere where I don't think it was worth it. Some people do. I don't think for me it was particularly worth it. So I discontinued that. But for bread, you know, for certain things, I think it's worth it going back to the old ways.
I feel that way about coffee roasting, too. It does just, I'm like,
You've
I'm,
done it, too? Come
no, on. I haven't done it, and I'm like, I'm good with that.
I mean, I have to. Like I said, I don't think the resulting product warranted the effort because I think
right.
I can get good or better. Sometimes you can get better stuff
yeah.
that's already made.
One of my dreams for the store is for us to reverse engineer that recipe and sell our own coffee brand. Not roast it ourselves.
We've talked about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I would really love to have that available.
That's a good idea, though.
Yeah, like the old Italian-American
yeah.
style, whatever you taught me, the mix
yeah,
Arabica
correct.
And something else and all this stuff, right?
There's yeah, it's do you want the secret?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's Robusta.
Robusta.
Italian Americans I had met, because I'm a sick person, but you all know that because you like to listen to the sick person. So when I was on this quest, I was at the fancy food show maybe 10, 12 years ago, and a Neapolitan brand of coffee, which is not very well known outside of Naples. I had known because my aunt had brought back some in 1984 when she went to Italy. They were trying to get sales in the U.S., and I knew somebody who did coffee distribution, and I did Neapolitans. I started chit-chatting with them, and he goes, "You got to taste some." And I tasted it, and I was like, wow, this is the coffee. This is the espresso of my childhood, right? Mm. Very black, very dark, very potent, and very creamy. And I said to him, "What's in this that makes this? And he said to me, "Robusta." Because Robusta is a cheaper bean on the market. So you see all these coffees now, 100% Arabica. I'm an anti-Arabica person. I don't like Arabica. And his argument was that the Neapolitan blends were, and there were some I think that were 100% Robusta, 70, 80. Robusta has a heck of a lot more caffeine.
Mm.
It makes a beautiful crema. The way it's roasted dark, it's very bitter. I fell in love. So I had that coffee. I'm like, this is like the greatest espresso I've had because it harkened back to Medaglia d'Oro. That's why I know people in Italy that get Pilon.
Yeah. I like Pilon. My mother uses Pilon.
Italian Americans, for people out there, love Pilon.
Because my mother says that Italian coffee doesn't taste good in America because the water is different. Mm. And she says that Pilon mixed with the American water gives her an acceptable.
What is Pilon?
Pilon is
Puerto Rican. It's a Puerto Rican coffee brand. And this is Bustella. So,
as I say, is it the same as Bustella?
They're kind of like the Coke and Pepsi of Puerto Rican coffee.
Yeah.
But my theory is, we're giving away the farm here, but my theory is that I know people in Italy who lived here for many years that have relatives bring them back Pilon.
Really?
Because it's Robusta. It's a cheap coffee, but it's our flavor profile. That's why Italians, Italian Americans or Italians who immigrated in the 50s or 60s in the mocha pot love Pilon. Brendan, the most difficult Sicilian person I've ever met in my life, wrote me off when he first came to John. I was like, because he works for me and John. I was like, get Pilon, get the flavor profile.
And now he's like, you were right on. He never admits we're right on anything.
I got to try it. I'm, you know, I stick with Medaglia d'Oro because I'm a loyalist.
Well, Nestle bought it. When Nestle bought it, it changed.
All these brands they bought and destroyed. They bought, that's, you know, everything.
But, it's inevitable.
I think that Pilon is the old flavor profile. I met a British guy who was a little younger than me, like one of these hipster coffee roasters, very high-end coffee roaster. And when I was going through my quest to find out why can't I get this old Medaglia d'Oro taste, my childhood, which the guy in the Neapolitan coffee company kind of put me in the right direction. So I called up this local roaster and I said to him, do you roast Robusta beans? So I just wanted to buy freshly roasted Robusta from him. He's like, absolutely not. Never. And we're having a conversation. He's like, why would you ask for such a thing? And I said to him, and I told him my story, how I love that old taste of Medaglia d'Oro and Pilon. To me, are you Italian American? True story. And I said, yeah, how do you know? He goes, well, my wife is Italian American. And he went off to say how her family, he thinks, has the worst taste in coffee.
There you go.
And he's like, they love this burnt. He's like, he's love it. It's completely. And he goes, I said, this is the flavor profile of my people. We had a good laugh on it, but he knew right off when he heard how I liked my coffee taste, he knew right off the bat. And he said it's something that he found. His in-laws all like coffee that he would never sell.
I got to try the Pilon.
But he's English.
I got to try for my grandfather, too, because when you were being honored and we had the baby's birthday, my grandparents surprised me. And, you know, they're getting older. It's harder for them. So it was a wonderful surprise. And they got there a little early. So we were prepping for everybody, and my grandparents came in. I said, we want to make you coffee. Now, in my house, Nicole drinks way more coffee than I do. She has the Nescafe, and I have the Maganette. And if I want coffee, I make it in the Maganette. She usually drinks. So I said to my grandfather, you know, do you want me to make a pot? No. So I said, okay, I'll give you one of these. And he was like so mortified by the outcome from the Nescafe. He's like, what is this? This is like a watery, you know, little shot or whatever. And he was going off about how nobody can make coffee anymore. And I think I'm going to give that a shot.
It must have been a wonderful moment
for
you.
Oh, it was great. I'm like, well, I'll have one with you, celebrate. But yeah. No, I this kind of stuff is.
He's so sweet. It though.
Is. Oh, he's otherwise, great. Oh, he loved you and Drew. Because you guys are like basically on a trajectory to do what they did.
We
like
have a lot in common with
that. Escape to the mountains like my grandparents, right?
Yeah, that's you guys in 40 years.
Yes, absolutely.
Whenever we see them, we sit down and we talk about the mountains and upstate. And
you'll be selling stuff on eBay eventually.
Absolutely right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you have an Etsy page already. you're there. You're there.
You're known as the cutest. She's like, one time I sold a fur coat to Japan.
My grandmother interacts with people that she sells stuff to, and she's telling me now, like, you know, the economy's down and nobody's buying on eBay and stuff and people don't want to pay shipping, but she, you know, my grandma's Barese and she's very mercantile and she's very with it. I mean, she's been on the computer. She's 85. She's been on the computer for 25 years, but she takes the time to interact with all these people she sells with around the world and get to know them and tell them the stories.
So sweet.
They're amazing. And of course, Drew's Sicilian, so my grandfather loves that. That's
where's
like
an extra layer.
Yeah. I got to make a point to, I mean, obviously now you're due any day. It's going to be a while before the babies can go, but I got to make a point to get you guys up there to see them and see their property. And
yeah, we do. We need to do it.
You could be neighbors.
They said it again.
You could be neighbors.
There's a house across the street.
I know your grandma told me.
She would love it. You'd be at her house every day.
We were going to go look at it. We're still debating it because it's a real fixer-upper.
Yeah.
But it's priced.
For your husband, that's like
it's priced.
I know.
And people are moving up there. A lot of people from the city, they're building Airbnb.
But they got water up there, too. They got a
grandpa's got the spring.
Yeah.
A Fontana.
But your grandma pulled it up, or she gave us the address, and Drew pulled it up. I was like, you know what?
Did you put animals on that land, or is it far?
Yeah. You know how much better I would feel if you guys, I mean, my uncle's up there across the street, so it's.
Well, there's still time.
Would you take the chickens with you?
Yeah.
I gotta leave them with her mother.
Why not?
I guess maybe her mother
wants
them.
No, my mother wants nothing to do with
the chickens. Yeah.
My mom's like from the Chita. She's like very.
But she's out there foraging mushrooms. It's not that much.
No, she's not doing the foraging.
She's the pickler.
She doesn't even take care of them if we go away. We have to ask Chicho, who lives next door.
Oh, you got another Italian guy to clean the chickens? That's the greatest Italian power. So then what does he get? The manure and payment? Oh, make a pomarolo grow nice. Porta casa tuyo,
I bet you it does. Does it make things grow?
Oh, yeah.
Chicken.
I knew
the chicken cacas.
There was an Italian lady in North Arlington who used to tell a story about her mother. And back then, they used to have chicken manure delivered to your house as fertilizer.
Yeah, I could see that.
And the old lady went berserk, I guess it's in the 30s or whatever, because she said it wasn't chicken manure, it was some other animal. She went, I can't, it's a little bit off color to tell online, but she went berserk when the chicken manure, the other manure showed up instead of chicken manure.
You know, this
that's Italian, amazing.
This episode is going to be on Italian American homesteading, really.
Yeah, this is not campagnolo.
It's great, though. I mean, what does Drew do
with all the chicken leftovers?
Well, to be honest, right now, we don't do much with them.
You put it in the regular garbage, or you like.
Well, we have a. Yeah, yeah.
But that's good fertilizer.
We use hay in the coop, and then we get rid of that. But what we do is we have a run. So, like, you want to protect them from predators, really, especially hawks. So we move it every now and then. So it kind of, I mean, the poop just stays where it is, but you notice when you, so they decimate the grass that they're on. Chickens are insane. They like dig up, they get to like the rocks beneath the earth. You're like, where is this coming from? It's wild. And all, it'll be like bare earth by the time you move it. And then you'll see that grass will be like lush. It'll be like the nicest grass.
So wild, isn't
it? On your property.
It's amazing how nature does that.
We're like repopulating the grass in the area.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
So cool.
But you could, like, we're just not doing.
How did you have a conversation with Chicho to convince Chicho? Now, I mean, what did your mother say when you, I want the play by play. When you told your mother you were going to get chickens, what was her response?
It was like.
What was the Stefania response when you said, I'm going to get chickens outside?
And you have to understand, I've been her daughter all my life. So she's like, she's not surprised. It's not like a surprise to her. She said, I think it was something like, that's fine, but don't expect me to help. And of course,
that's the greatest.
Was something like that.
Which is
did
fair.
She recommend Chicho as the chicken cleaner operator?
I just know Cheech grew up like everybody else on a farm, and you know he's just not. He doesn't.
Does he
care.
Get excited? Oh, hey, golly, no.
He doesn't clean it. We don't ask him to clean the coop. We just ask him to. Well, at night you got to lock the chickens up. In the morning you got to let them out and feed them.
Are they walking around your yard during the day?
They're in their run unless we let them out. Sometimes we let them.
How
out.
Does your son like the chickens?
Oh my God, he's like.
He loves
the leader,
chickens, right? Yeah.
They listen to him. They like bow down when he goes to pet them. They're very subservient to him. They know he's like.
Do you think your mother changed a little bit on the chickens now she sees her grandson? Because he's like the baby grandson.
Yeah,
right? He's special.
Is. Yeah.
So does she? You think she calmed down a little bit because it's almost now they're like Angelo's.
They're
toys.
Angelo's chickens.
Yeah.
Angelo's
no, chicken. I think she likes the chickens. She certainly eats the eggs. I think she likes it. It fits in with her, you know, preserving.
How good are those
Italian
eggs? Because I haven't had any.
I know. I teed up for that one.
You did. You set yourself way
duck,
up for that. I
eggs,
was going to say, are
I mean,
you raising ducks?
Yeah. I can't believe, you know, we don't have a lot of eggs left because they're slowing down, but I cannot believe I forgot to bring
you
some.
Yeah, sure you forgot.
She brought you mushrooms.
I know, but I should have brought him at least a few.
Are
what
they
colors
really,
are
really
they?
Yellow, the yolk?
Oh,
like
yeah,
really
they're
gold.
Like orange.
Yeah, that's the best.
Oh, you didn't bring me a gift of eggs, but I brought a gift. I want, this is the first time you've
I
ever
wish
come.
We were a video podcast
this is your
right
only,
now.
This is the first
what
time you've ever come to my office.
Yeah, it's true.
And I want to thank you for coming para a visita. You came to visit me.
You're giving me a gift for
yes,
coming
I'm
to your
sure
office?
This. It's
I
like a bomboniera.
Hold on. Where's my phone?
It's a bomboniera for coming to see me. It's a bomboniera to see how much I appreciate.
Wait, I have
you...
no shoes on.
Don't worry about it. Shoes. We're talking about you scooping chicken poop. Don't worry.
This is where Rosella gets worried about me. It's moments like this.
It makes sense.
All right, so I have this very nicely wrapped.
Did you wrap it, your mother?
No, yeah. I mean, come on, let's have a. Yeah.
Your mother's like one of the best gift
yeah,
wrappers
she's
on the planet.
Stuff.
What is this? I feel like it's something that's going to jump out at me. It's an enormous yellow rubber duck.
It's a rubber ducky. And I want you to keep that on your mother's countertop.
Let me
that's
tell you.
That's Pascal, the rubber ducky.
Of
so
all
every time you're going to have duck, I want you to look at Pascal, the rubber ducky,
aww.
And remember, I haven't had it.
Of all, of all the things I expected to pull out of there, this was not it. I have to give this to my mom and
yes.
let her know.
Yes,
this is
it's
from
Pascal,
Pat.
The duck.
It's a reminder.
Who still hasn't had the duck.
It's like a horse's head in your bed.
It's a horse's head.
Pat, that's amazing. I love you. That's hilarious. She's gonna die laughing.
That is really funny. He texts me. He's like, you think we can get our hands on a rubber duck? I'm like,
yeah. I made it happen on 24 hours notice.
You did a good job.
Thank you, Amazon.
So funny. Oh, yeah, my gosh.
One day. And you will have that duck.
Yeah, one day. Was it that's like, Vincerò?
Well, I think you should tell people the truth, though.
One time I could not make it. I know. I've been asking for 10 years. On one occasion. One occasion. I could not make it. And now, well, we asked him. He never comes.
I just think people need to know that you have been invited.
Once.
We'll establish you have been invited.
Yeah, once.
It dawned on me that we came to talk about Italian American Heritage Month. I love that we had our own gathering. And this is the title of this episode, I think, is going to be Italian American Gothic, How to Homestead by Pat and Dolores. And the image I'm going to just take from your headshots is going to be American Gothic, Italian Americanized with the two of you.
Oh, my God.
And just Ro and I in the background in the window, like, what's going on?
Yeah,
that's the episode.
I like my flower pre-ground.
Yeah.
I like lights. I like electricity.
No, stop. I'm gonna be now it's the row. I'm a New Yorker.
I'm not a New Yorker.
Listen to me. If you could go into your pantry, take a cup of wheat berries, throw them in a grinder like a coffee grinder, hit a button, came out with flour. That is not wholesome.
I just don't know if there's like the biggest payoff. I don't know.
I think there is. That's why I'm saying.
I mean,
I'm not pushing coffee grinding because I did it and I said, I don't think this was la cosecha non se vale la fuerza.
I'm like
the harvest wasn't worth the effort.
The squeeze. The juice is worth the squeeze.
Yeah,
something like that.
How would they say?
It is October and that means it's Italian American Heritage Month. And this year, why not connect to Italy with the Mediaset Italia subscription? Mediaset Italia is the channel that combines the best from top Italian channels Canale 5, Italia 1, and Rete 4, so you don't miss the latest in TV from Italy. This October, Mediaset has familiar favorites and new series, including the new crime drama Maria Corleone, airing Fridays at 8:35 p.m. Eastern, brand new current affairs program E Sempre Carta Bianca with Bianca Berlinger, and new seasons of popular favorites Caduto Libera, Quarto Grado, and Pomeriggio Cinque. There's always something new on Mediaset Italia. So call your local television provider today.
I'm like, if I find a frozen pie crust that I like, I'll use a frozen pie crust.
I'm not that big.
No, you got
me. Yeah, no,
but hold on.
You called me out on
Wait
that
a minute.
One. So
yeah.
I made the Easter pies. Because
you use the sweet
I used,
pie
I used
crust,
the pie crust yeah.
to make a pizza rustica.
Yeah, but that is traditional in Campania.
Eugh.
Yeah.
She was pasta frolla ones.
Yeah,
are
yeah. Some,
but
some
she
of
said
these...
to me, she goes, why is there a sweet crust? I said, because it's a frozen crust. She looked at me like I had three heads. But...
Yeah, but let's back up a minute. A puff pastry is a heck of a lot easier to do, to buy it, buy a good quality
one. If either
one,
of you start making your own Sfidel puff pastry, then you need to
I don't
be
think Sfidel is worth it.
No,
I don't think. I mean, now, the pasta frolla Sfidel, which is the one that's just made in a...
I can't make good pasta frolla. I want... You know what I want to make, and I just don't have the
wherewithal? I know the tricks. I mean, there's a lot of tricks. Pastry flour is huge with a very low...
If I have
Bob's Red Mill... Bob's Red Mill never gave me a nickel. So if you think I'm getting something out of it, you're dreaming.
No, they're not a sponsor.
It's not. But Bob's Red Mill pastry flour is game changer.
The one thing
And my mother, remember something. The reason I'm stopping this is that there's no one more negative and more the doubter that I'm crazy.
That's true.
So my mother, no matter, I could tell my mother like anything, and she's the most negative. There's against these things, right? She's against it. So when she gets on board, that's a huge endorsement.
Right.
That's
you know, it's good.
So the Anchors Room mixer, she said, this is well worth
it. She's a convert.
And the second thing is, Bob's Red Mill pastry flour.
Yeah.
See, there's a lot of pastry flours out there I don't think are as good because the Bob's, I think, mills for a specific the protein. Now, I think, who I'm not getting a nickel off of, I think that Gold Medal Organic is very good for things like Zeppelin's because it's not... King Arthur has a high protein. So King Arthur Organic is, I think even just their organic flour is even good for bread. And there's a lot of private mills that I use, but I'm into this stuff.
You love
the science, but I'm saying is that the pastry flour and my friend Mary Grace, the great Mary Grace of Giorgio's fame, Mary
who's
Grace
been on
the
show.
Baker, who's been on the show, Mary Grace told me another key thing is to use baker's sugar. Now, again, I don't get a nickel off of King Arthur.
It melts quicker.
They sell it. You can get some, and it gets expensive on King Arthur. You can get it in other places cheaper, but it's very, very, it's like a super fine sugar. Yeah. I think it is technically super fine sugar. Mm-hmm. And when you make, I'd say biscuits, but biscotti with Bob's Red Mill and the super fine sugar, baker's sugar, it tastes like the same thing you get in a bakery. It is not gritty.
Mm.
But that's the stuff I like to study. Now, I think that a pasta frolla made with the Bob's Red Mill pastry flour is a million times better than the regular, because AP flour, all-purpose, right? They call it plain flour in England and Australia for our listeners there. It's supposed to be good for everything, but it's really, they say it's not good for anything.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard bakers say that. But the other problem is, when you're baking this stuff, Americans use cups in measurement. And the fineness of sugar, a roughly ground sugar, is not going to measure in a measuring cup the same way a fine baker's sugar is.
So you got
the same thing with flour. Now, that's why if there's one thing I would convert in America, I would do all our baking by weight and in metric.
That's what the Italians do, right?
It is so much more accurate.
Yeah. So much more accurate. I don't know why we do this.
Yeah.
Well, why we do
it's
it?
A 19
anyway.
Cent? I mean,
use
you know.
Grams in a scale.
I use grams.
But weight is weight. You know, but weight is so much more accurate than anything else.
Because we never made that conversion. Like from inches, I mean, I'm patriotic, but an inch is a tough thing to measure.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Compared to centimeters and millimeters.
12 to a foot versus 10
like
to 100. And,
you really only need a scale instead of measuring cups and spoons.
That's a good point.
You know, and now they have those electric ones that, you know, pick up.
I have a good electric scale.
Yeah, I got a great scale. I love my scale. Yeah.
They're very affordable, too. You really don't have to buy a fancy one. Yeah.
But the fancy ones are worth it because the fancy one I have.
Like you blow on it and it weighs it.
Well, you put a mixing bowl on it. And,
yeah.
I think it can handle 22 kilos. It's like industrial strength because I'm a sick person. This is the stuff I buy.
This is how you bake.
It's so much easier to bake with. There's no comparison. I'm going to give you, you want another Pat trick? This is a day of Pat tricks. Ro, you could jump in. If you're in a part of America that has rigotte that's too wet, it's like when you're making a pastiera, you need rigotte that is very, very dry like Italy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can now make very dry rigotte at home by using a Greek yogurt strainer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go online, check if I weigh more. New England Cheese Company. So
I
ain't getting a nickel from them. I buy off of them. Yeah. They sell one that's like huge. So that can handle if you have 3 pounds that you got, container. Because most Greek yogurt strainers are very small.
You got to get me one of those because I've been doing it through cheesecloth every time.
Use the baskets, like the cheese baskets? You know what I'm saying? You could get like plastic ones or...
You mean the rigotta comes in a basket?
No, like if you want to make cheese yourself at home, I have a bunch of them.
Yeah, it's the same thing as the Greek yogurt.
Same idea?
It's the exact same thing. It's a very fine meshed. I like the one from New England because it's big and you could put 3 pounds of rigotta in. I have another one that I got. It was a store that was going under. I can't remember the name of it. That was going under and... They were having a clearance sale, and they sold a small Greek yogurt strainer. So if I want to have, like, just put a rigotta on it, like macaroni, which is a Sunday thing, I'll put it in the small strainer a day or two before. And if I'm going to do a pastiera, I'll put it in the big strainer.
I got to get one of those.
This is my thing. If you're living in America where you have lousy rigotte or you're making rigotte at home, the strainer helps.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of modern technology.
Or,
these are modern tools.
But for those things, I like to use rigotte impastata.
Sure.
If you could get it.
But this is the problem with rigotte impastata. Rigotte impastata, when I buy it, I can only buy it in 10 and 15 pound quantities because they sell it for bakeries.
Yeah.
Mm.
So if you go to Restaurant Depot and you're going to buy 10 pounds, if it's Easter and you're going to make a lot of pastita, sure, you can't be. Now, for those who don't know, a rigotte impastata was a rigotte that really was invented in the U.S. in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
As a
tremendous
very,
product.
Tremendous product as a very, very super dry rigotte.
Yeah.
That for, I would say, ganoule, for cannolis.
Yeah, for cassata.
For pastiera, for cassata.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's made for bakeries. But the problem is, you can't go to a... This is a great point Roe brings up. I wouldn't be straining it at home if I could go to a store and buy 1 pound for a little bit on top of macaroni, or 3 pounds. But what happens is, I was going out and buying for one pastiera, 10 pound polio package of impastata.
Yeah.
and you can't freeze it. It doesn't really freeze well. Then you wind up wasting
it. Don't freeze ricotta, guys.
No.
just don't do it. You all ask me, can I freeze this? Can I freeze this ricotta cheesecake? It's going to be crap. Just don't do it.
Do you remember when I accidentally missed, my dyslexia kicked in, and I made like 10 times the amount of pasieta filling a couple of years ago, and I called Ro. I'm like, I have a problem.
John does not make, he makes burned a pasieta through every, la canela.
I made every pie crust I could buy in like the 3 mile area. I ran through those. So I made them. You told me to make them, put graham crackers on the bottom and make them in a cupcake.
Oh, I told you that. I'm brilliant.
Yeah. Everybody loved them.
Remember last year when Pat burnt all his pastillas?
That was the evil eye.
Was that Brendan's fault? Or was it Malocchio?
Yeah, Brendan puts the Malocchio on me and John.
I don't know.
He was in such a nasty
He was not happy last
I was
year.
Texting him. Pat got so nasty with me. Yeah. I feel like I need to, like, once we have video, I'm going to pull up the text. And, like,
why?
He was so nasty.
I made.
Nothing affects Patrick O'Boyle more than pastiera.
Wasted pastiera.
Yeah.
That's not good.
The key to pastiera is low and slow.
Yeah.
Okay, but do you have to be mean about it?
He takes it
well,
seriously.
You're celebrating. I mean, like, when tragedy hits, you want to be like, zippity-doo-da, zippity. I mean, I learned the hard way.
And I'm
try
like,
to rush it.
Pat, you're not being nice right. Okay, Ro, I'm not nice. That's it. No, I'm bad. I'm terrible. I'm not nice. I'm mean.
A pastiera is
should have just left him alone, given him space.
You get this. A pastiera is like a sacramental moment.
Yeah.
It's true.
For you,
and
it's the top of everything.
And I was angry at myself. I said, because everyone said to me, pastiera cooks best low and slow.
Yeah.
Right? And everybody's like, oh, no, like you can do 350. You can do it. And I find it does not work. You got to do it 325 for like an hour and 45 minutes.
Even more sometimes.
Yeah, you cannot rush it.
I think until you pull the toothpick out and it's dry.
Right, but you could also get it dried at a higher temperature.
But not right.
Well, it burned the crust.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting flashbacks. What's that the thing?
It's like PTSD.
Now, right now I'm getting aggravated.
All right,
stop. Right.
And this is
Wait,
where we end.
No, because I tell you why I'm aggravated. I could smack my face right now. Is because I wanted to take notes on what I screwed up on, and now I'm trying to remember what my mistake was.
To?
Thanks, Ro. Thanks for a PTSD.
Well, at least you come to that realization now, as opposed to at the end of Lent, and you'd be scrambling to figure out if you took notes. So at least know you.
I know what it is now, because Elisabetta Cuomo is like the head. You know, I belong to the fundamentalist gastronomics of the Sorrentine Peninsula.
Yeah,
she is the expert. She runs now a B&B in Sorrento. She is the baking expert. So I would say she is the app. She is the, for pastries in the Sorrento Peninsula, she's the absolute expert. And she is all about low and slow. 325, an hour and a half.
I mean, you can't go wrong that way. Like anything.
Well, you know
like
what
making,
else, too?
Like
can, making... I have, can I have another, put more of my secrets here? And I got this from Nick Malgieri, the cookbook author. I do not bake my pastiera in aluminum pans. Because the Neapolitan thing was a urut, right? What'd you say, urut?
Urut.
Urut means round, right? Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
Yeah.
Urut is the baking. It's like a baking pan.
Yeah.
So the Neapolitan tradition one is an aluminum one. But Nick Malgieri made a great point. Pyrex glass ones, in his opinion, conduct heat as well or almost as well, but they allow you to gauge, because they are transparent, clear glass.
That's fair.
The browning of the pastiera crust.
My mother saves every pastiera tin we've ever gotten. If we buy one in Naples, we have thousands of them in the house. She saves ricotta tins, too. I don't know why. She just saves them in case.
The ricotta tin is
the greatest
thing.
They got holes in them. But, but she saves every pastiera tin, and we use those. Those are like our...
She left the farm, but the farm didn't leave her. That's what it is.
It's in her mentality. She's got it. This has been actually a really fun episode.
What the heck did this have to do with Italian heritage? Because Johnson, we're going to do Italian heritage.
Something.
You know what? You
and then
be
Dolores is flipping out. She has to come up with three names. Are we doing another episode?
We can do 300.
We're going to do another episode? The next one is?
We do the next one's the 300th episode.
So people are going to make believe, like, we did this a week later when I'm just going to make coffee and then we're going to start again?
They'll know now. But no, yeah.
But yes, that was the idea.
That was the idea, yes.
Oh, we all got together again.
What happened
when your mother saw the dog?
Insult the intelligence of the audience. I think they understand we do a lot of these and, you know, back to back.
Not often. Occasionally.
Not often, but we, you know, sometimes we can. And
what are we going to do now? We're going to eat the focaccia?
We're going to eat a little bit, and then we're going to come back for the 300th episode, which is really exciting. I asked everybody to come together for Italian Heritage Month because it's been a while. By the way, I'm going to put a 4-point bulletin out there, 5-point bulletin. Anyone who has seen the artist formerly known as Anthony Fasano, I can't get in touch with him. I mean, is he alive? Because we always joke that he's, you know, he shows up once a year, but like, is he actually alive? Because
he's
didn't
around.
Even respond to me.
I know he's. And I know that he is because, like, on occasion, like on like St. Anthony's Day, if I text him, he'll respond. Thank you, you know. But I also we have like family in common. His brother's married to my cousin, yeah.
So he's alive.
Dr. Chris.
Family gossip yeah. from Dr. No, right, Chris. Yeah. Dr. Chris. But yeah, he's on. He's got, you know, 3 kids, teenagers.
Yeah.
A business.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in the weeds.
The man who thought the world needed an Italian-American podcast, wherever you are, thank you for bringing us all together because it's been a great addition to all of our lives. And, yeah, we're going to take a break. We're going to have a little coffee.
Get more focaccia.
You get more focaccia. And we're going to come back for the 300th episode. So for us, it'll be a few minutes. For you, it'll be next week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at 300.
Da, 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 da. Da, if you want da, your da, life da, to be da, great, da, da, see that you're born an Italiano and your life will be great. See that you're born an Italiano and your life will be great.